Good morning. This is The Takeaway. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. John Updike died yesterday. There's probably no greater advocate of books and reading than this author who created so many of them and read so many of them. For someone who thought of writing and literature as so important, he was known for writing about the most ordinary of things. Here's Updike talking about his own young life.
All those years in Shillington, I'd waited to be admired, waited patiently, for there was considerable pleasure in the waiting, the lying low, the keeping, in one of my grandfather's favorite phrases, out of harm's way. Pleasure in the shyness, the malicious slyness, the burrowing in New York magazines and English mystery novels for the secret passageway out, the path of avoidance and vindication. I hid a certain determined defiance. I would not teach. I would not farm. I would not, deep down, conform. I would show them.
And show them he did. He became a writer. This chronicler of the ordinary had little use for style, and indeed his quiet, measured voice was always unmodulated, always familiar, in fiction or nonfiction.
I'm not, I don't think, a very conscious stylist. I write at, I would say, medium speed. I don't write as much as Joyce Carol Oates, but I seem to write more than William Styron, say, or J.D. Salinger. I write about 1,000 words a day and try to make them as good as I can.
Medium speed? Right. A half-century career produced more than 50 books, one per year. He wrote novels, 20 of them. There were collections of poetry and a vast array of nonfiction, including some of the most important literary criticism written in English. Updike's last published work last November was a review of Toni Morrison's A Mercy in The New Yorker magazine. A voice of the modern American writer, a biographer of that American voice, he fancied himself.
That's what I imagined when I set out in this curious trade, that I would be an American writer, writing about America and trying to, in some ways, enlarge my fellow countrymen's sense of their country. Whitman celebrated America in a way that it can hardly be voiced now, 150 years later. And of course, he was, until the end of his life, rather neglected. So his attempt to address America and tell them how wonderful they were, how wonderful American people are, fell on deaf ears until the end.
Updike, of course, never had such problems. One thing he worried about in his own work was being categorized. Being John Updike was category enough.
I'm disturbed by the very phrase literary fiction, which comes up more and more, meaning there is fiction which is literary, and I apparently write it, and others, and then there's whatever. Thrillers, chick lit, as though I sit down and say, I'm going to write some literary fiction today, and tomorrow I'll write some unliterary fiction. Yeah, right. I wouldn't know how to write unliterary fiction. It's all literary. To me, it's literary because it's written in words. So the term has something restrictive about it and diminishing. It diminishes the possibilities of being a fiction writer in present-day America.
Writing diminished, reading declining, Updike's lament, right up until the end.
People don't read books the way they used to. There is no Steinbeck or Hemingway who captures the public imagination as those men and their works did.
In commemoration of Updike's passing, tell us the last book you read and why. And if it was one of Updike's, so much the better. What do you read? 877-8-MY-TAKE.